Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Federica Scarpa from the 75th edition of Locarno Film Festival, and we are going to talk with Sophie Marceau, protagonist of A Woman in the Piazza Grande section. So, how was to be Julienne? Was it hard to understand her?
No, not to understand her. But, you know, I don't always answer my questions, and it's a little bit like this character. I think she's very, she's a straight woman. She's very determined and honest and clear, and all of a sudden something happens. It's not all of a sudden. She kind of have like a feeling that's, I don't know, the death of her sister. She hadn't really made the le deuil. I don't know how you say that, the sorrow, something is going to happen. She's a cop, you know, she's a commissaire, and she's, I don't know, there's something very feminine about her feelings and things happen. And then it was not hard. It was just day after day, you know, like what she's going to endure during this movie. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know how your life is going to be. And so then what you're going to do with yourself at this moment where everything breaks, you know, for her, the only way out, I think, it's just to go straight in what she believes and what she is. And she doesn't even think about it. I think that's the way she is. She's radical. She's not more or less, you know, she's like honest with herself, and she's a free woman in a way that she goes for no compromise or no distortion of herself. You know, she keeps on her line. She got betrayed very badly by her husband that she loves and that she trusts. Everything just collapsed, so she just go for a truth and go for a be responsible of your action, you know.
At the film's end, Julienne introduces herself, but even during the whole movie, she reveals a lot about her through her actions and silences. As an actress, how do you relate to silence as a tool to express yourself?
Very well, thank you. I don't have any lines to remember. Yeah, and I also believe that the body talks a lot, you know, and sometimes we forget the body. It's very intellectual, blah, 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 talking. I like words. I like theater. I like, you know, but not always. And sometimes words betray you too, you know, because they're not strong enough or just the emotion takes over. And silence are sometimes more meaningful too, you know. I don't think this movie needed more words. It's like an arrow, you know, from one point to another point. And there is no yes, but no, but nah, but explanation. I like also the mystery. I like also not to answer all the questions. What happened to her, you know? It just happened. I mean, there's no rational explanation, but are we always rational? Especially when it's about your heart, your feelings, or your deep philosophy or whatever, you know, things are irrational, and sometimes they are more beautiful when they're irrational because they're true. They're just like coming out, you know? So I like silences because then you're more aware of everything, you know? You're not disturbed by the blah, blah, blah and the explanations. You just, have you ever done that when I watch a movie on my TV? I shut the sound.
Yeah.
I just look at things and I look at, is that true? Is that, you know, it's like as if it helps me to see better. Who are they real? Are they truthful? Are they lying? You know, I can see more. You know, words are seductive. Yeah. You know?
In the gallery of female characters you played, where do you place Julien?
I don't know. I don't put things on perspective. You know, what has been done, and I don't know. we'll see what's going to happen next. I need to like my characters, you know, and if I look back, I really liked all of them. I mean, liked, I just felt that I want to be, to defend them. I want to make people understand who they are. I want to make them real. Like, it's not just a character that is, no, they have something to say. They have very individual sometimes. Even the destiny of Anna Karenina is not, it's, you know, she's going to kill herself. I mean, it's not something common, and it's not something. So it's always like, yeah, I like these women. They suffer somehow. They have something to say. They fight for, they stand for their life, for their rights. They move me. So, no, honestly, you know, my character in Arrêtez-moi, she's a victim. But she's very, strong. I mean, they're very strong, all of them. They're strong and they're radical. I like that.
Literally, the film's title in English is A Woman of Our Times. What do you think differentiates a woman of today from one of the past?
But to me, a woman of our time, it's like universal. It's like of every, all time. Because what makes her a woman of our time, it's because she, as I said, she makes her way through and she delivers herself of something. And every woman in her history that had existed, women that have made their own way to go through things, you know. So she's very independent, autonomous, and maybe nowadays, because of the women evolution or whatever you call it, it's even more in this. Doesn't mean every woman has to kill their husband, but there's a kind of a liberation in that. But, you know, let's not go into this. But no, it's not the message at all. But it's just, you know, I'm going to go to jail, that's what's going to happen. But she just, you know, she doesn't bend. She doesn't say, okay, she just go for it. I like that. I think it's modern.
Is there any person in particular you would like to shoot arrows at?
No. You know, I hate weapons. I did carry weapons in my hands, like gun. I know how dangerous it is. Just putting in your hand, you feel like, how do you say, a super strong, I don't know, you have like superpower. So it's like, it's like the ring, you know, the ring, le Seigneur des Anneaux. There is something very powerful but mean, because it's to kill. And but it is. I mean, there's no other purpose of a weapon, you know? And even an arch, come on,
bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow. Even that is like, wow. And during the shooting, where I was very like always putting my
bow, the bow, yeah.
L'arc, we'll say arc. Like this, because as soon as you bend it, you never know what's happened. Somebody hurt you, goes. It's very dangerous. But it's very dangerous.
Your directorial debut with Speak to Me of Love was 20 years ago. How has your approach to acting changed after directing other actresses?
I didn't bother the director afterwards. Never. Yeah, I was like, okay, stay in your seat and just let it do. He knows better than you. No, but that's very true, actually. It's just, you know, I realize that it is... It's a hard job to be a director. I loved it. But you have a whole crew around you, but somehow you're super lonely. Yeah. Because you can tell and tell and tell again what you want, how you want it. And still at the end, a year later, your first assistant comes over. He says, That's amazing. I never thought the movie will be like this. And you're like, what? Yeah. I've been explaining you for 2 years, you know, what the... And then you see the movie and it's like, oh, I'm surprised. So, yeah, it's a process of collective work, which is great because people bring, you know, everyone brings its stone and everyone has a specificity, which is great because you can... You can use everyone's talent, but on the other hand, you have to keep your direction and to hold on it. So,
during the film, we see Julian wearing the masks. The film was actually shot during the COVID pandemic. How do you experience this aspect of the production? And in your opinion, how has COVID influenced French cinema?
French cinema, yeah. Not just French cinema, cinema in general.
Yes.
But no, everything got affected by COVID, you know, everything. No, what affects more cinema is the platforms. You know, that's a real new thing that we have to deal with.
And the real virus.
Yeah, right. So, but the COVID, everything was shot. But, you know, people have worked a lot during the COVID on cinema. There were a lot of movies made, not the first 2 months, but afterwards we keep on making a lot of movies, not knowing what's going to happen with those movies, though. Because still, but even this one should have been released at least a year ago, you know, but it was delayed because then there was like a traffic jam of movies that were stuck. And so they had to delay little by little all the movies that couldn't have been released, you know, these days. So, I don't know, cinema will, I mean, now there's so many supports, you know, so many medias, which means there's so many movies, because so many movies are made. It's crazy. On cinema, already a lot. In France, even more, because we produce a lot of movies for cinema, plus the platform. I don't know how people can consummate all of this. It's impossible, you know? So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a psychic. I don't know. I like cinema. To be honest, I don't go to cinema very often either myself. And because I can choose what movie to see at home whenever I want. I mean, there's such a freedom, you know? And so, but well, as long as we make movies, whatever the size of the screen, I'm sorry for the, I'm going to be like lynched by the Cinémathèque. movies will be movies, you know, so.
But is there a difference to present a film in front of an audience like tonight and on a very big screen?
Yeah, in the present time, yes, because we are here and we see the people and it's like, it's physical, you know, but it doesn't always happen like this. Even for cinema, you know, you go in a theater and you see all the people. Yeah, that's great. I just did a movie for Amazon and, it's the first time that we don't wait on Wednesday to know if your movie's dead or not. And it's kind of cool. It's like being at school. You don't have any notes. You know what I mean? You didn't do a good job and you know, oh no, I'm not gonna. You don't have notes. You don't know. You don't know what the teacher thought. So you get frustrated a little bit at the end because you say, okay, so did it work? Didn't it work? But you know, at the end, who cares really? I mean, I'm sorry, but you do things and then people see it, don't see it, I don't know, but if it pleases the little amount of people that have seen it, that's great. I'm happy with that, you know? For me, 6,000 people, for me, the movie is a success already. It's huge. 6,000 people, to me, it's like enormous. So, you know, if you please 6,000 people, I'm happy.
Besides the streaming service, what has changed in the film industry in recent years? I mean, you started very young. How has the profession changed in all this time?
It's faster today, you know, shootings are quicker, faster. But, you know, honestly, it's more or less the same, you know. I mean, these 30 years ago, yeah, it would take 12, 13, 16 weeks to make average movie, you know. 10 to 12, let's say. Which is long, you know. It was like, cool, you know. I'd say it's a little, but you know, I like that too. I mean, because it's very intense. It's very like, in a feeling of emergency a little bit. Because it's not just us, the world gets faster anyway. Everything gets faster. So I cannot imagine today making a movie of 12 weeks. I'd be like, oh no, it's too long. No, it's true. That's funny how we adapt ourselves, even time-wise, you know. We are all faster. Not that I like that, but for a movie, it gives you a little bit of a feeling of a emergency. So you are even more focused in a way, you know?
After all your experience in the film industry, if you had the chance to talk to the young yourself of the beginning, what would you tell and recommend to yourself?
Work, learn. Yeah. Just learn, you know, nothing is better than experience. You know, I quit school very early, in my very young age. My kids go to school and they study. And it's great. So I don't say it's not great. It's education is super important, very important. But I also believe that the experience to do things, it's the best school. That is my school, you know. And it's hard, it's whatever, but just experiment things. Just, you know, work. Francis Huster, who is a famous actor in France, he used to do a lot of theater. He was at the Comédie Française. And he called me once, I was 14, I was just coming out La Boom, you know, and he called me in my house. I didn't know the guy. He said, yeah, it's Francis Huster. And I said, are you a journalist? He said, oh, I'm an actor at the Comédie Française. And, sorry. And so for a year, he taught me. He wanted to be my teacher. And he said, you know, girls like you, you're pretty, you have talent. Okay. There are millions of girls like this in the world. If you want to make this work, you have to work. You have to educate yourself. You have to see movies. You have to learn. You have to speak well. You have to learn. It is a work. It's a real job, you know. It's not, well, so I listened to him, and that's what I did. So, voilà, work to work.
And we've been talking with Sophie Marceau, protagonist of A Woman in a Piazza Grande section. I am Federica Scarpa for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.